This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on this Tuesday, the 6th of April, with me, Paul Andrews. We've got some fantastic guests to speak to in the second half of the show, and I'm going to catch up with Jill Serkin very shortly. But let's hear an interview that Jill's conducted with Sarah Bowers and Neil Woodward of the Save Our Fields Westgate and Garling Group.
And I'm here with Neil Woodward, who is the chair and the founder of the Action Group, which is called Save Our Fields. Also flanking him, I have Sarah Bowers. They're both, I came across them actually, listener, on Twitter, would you believe? And you can find them on the Twitter at Our Westgate. And really, really something that hits me hard. If you're sort of familiar with walking through fields and hearing birds, hearing the skylark, hearing that sort of summery sound of swishing grass, and maybe sitting down having a little picnic, and then you see the farmers and the ploughs and everything being sort of the agriculture that we have in Kent especially, but all through the UK, our food being produced, fresh food, eating in season, your spuds, your apples, your blackberries, your grapes, your wine even. So all of this stuff, do we take it for granted? I don't know. But in the studio with us, we have Neil Woodward, who's the chair and the founder of the Action Group Save Our Fields, along with Sarah Bowers, who's the admin and also does everything, I think. She does all the social media. And that's how I found them. So welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
It's a bit scary, the number of houses that I'm seeing being built around where I live in Whitstable, and certainly Neil and I were chatting earlier in the week about where they've built on the old Thanet Way and where they've built a huge roundabout to service this huge building site that they're doing on what was parkland. And that traffic that's been caused, the build-up because of this huge roundabout that suddenly appeared in the middle of the old Thanet Way, has caused everybody to come through the rat runs through the side residential roads. And consequently, our road, our garden, which was lovely and quiet, but backs onto the Herne Bay Road, is now really noisy. Constant traffic, constant tyres, constant sirens. So we all know that building in certain areas where perhaps there isn't the space causes a great deal of chaos even. So tell us, Neil, first of all, why you started it, because I do know you're a builder.
I am. Good evening, Jules. We do actually go by the name of Westgate and Garling Action Group Against Housing Development.
I'm so glad you said that and not me.
But that's fine. But I mean, what you actually said with the introduction and just then with regards to the crops, the potatoes, the cabbages, it's what it's all about. It's our greatest natural resource in Thanet. For me, it is all about that land. It's grade one land. People say, oh, it's grade one and two. It's not. It's grade one. And I haven't even been down here 3 years yet. And one of my earliest memories of finding out about the agriculture in and around us in Westgate and Birchington, I drove across the fields going towards Westwood Cross looking for a DIY store. I was given directions. And all of a sudden, it was like a picture postcard. Fields directly behind where my house is, there was a tractor ploughing the fields with seagulls hanging around behind. And as a builder, one of the things I did notice was the quality. And there's nothing better. One of the nicest sights for me is the straight lines of the freshly ploughed field. And it just caught my eye, and the sun was shining. It was all going on. And it was only a short time after, I think, speaking to an estate agent, he mentioned about 900 houses. I said, well, where's that? He said, oh, on the field. I said, you are joking, surely.
The field that you've just driven by.
And he said, no, it's going to happen. I thought, that is just shocking. It is absolutely shocking. It makes no sense whatsoever. And there's so many points around this issue, negative points, and there's only two good points, and that is extra council tax revenue for TDC and profit for the builders. Everything else is purely negative about it.
So, Sarah, how did you and Neil get together?
So I'm, I suppose you'd call me a concerned resident.
Right.
I live in the city. I don't actually live in Westgate. I live just along the road. And the way this has worked out is the road that we live on, which is called Shottendane Road, has become a sort of a focus for all this development. And there's actually a number of developments along there that's going to amount to over 4,000 houses.
How many?
I've lived here, 4,000 in total.
4,000.
Huge. On three developments, all on farmland. Now, I've lived here in this area for 14 years. I've lived in Thanet for much longer than that, but I've lived in this particular area for 14 years. And I'm also a kind of a farmer. We grow apples, we have an orchard, and I feel very passionately about local food and local produce. And I just think it's wrong to build houses on farmland, especially on farmland that is so good. You know, it really is good farmland in Thanet. It's some of the best.
I know that
I just got so angry that I kind of got involved in protesting, and that's how we sort of came across the action group, and I ended up on the committee. So
I'm doing the Twitter.
Yeah, just the Twitter. I don't do all the social media. I just do the Twitter account.
I think you're very active on Twitter, and that's how I spotted you. Now, there are others that are listening, for example, estate agents, who might be saying, look, we need these houses. So what would you say to that, first of all, Sarah?
Well, I know there's no doubt that we do need some housing. I completely concur with that. But I don't think we should be going to farmland. And even the National Planning Policy Framework says that we should go to brownfield first. Mm. And I think everyone surely would agree with that, apart from developers, because, of course, it's cheaper to develop farmland. You've got a nice open space, off you go. If you're dealing with brownfield, you nearly always have to do some clearance. Maybe you have to do some decontamination. You know, it's harder to do, isn't it? So they'd much rather have a nice big open field, and off they go.
And would you say, have you lobbied any local MPs, either of you?
Yeah, so Roger Gow I've spoken to a couple of times. It's quite known that the other week in Commons by Zoom, the Prime Minister blatantly misheard when Roger Gow asked for a memorandum on house building. What he was talking about was a memorandum on building on farmland. And Sir Roger Gow himself has said, picking up on Sarah's point about brownfield being developed first and inner city sites first, department stores that may not be used anymore for housing. And something I didn't know, which I find absolutely scandalous, is that developers in this country already have 400,000 consents to build. And what Roger Gow was saying is, surely you've got 400,000 consents, start using them first before you start applying to build on agricultural land. And in the meantime, the landscape has changed with remote working and perhaps, unfortunately, shops not being around. There's so many options. I think it's been proven that there is enough brownfield development opportunities to not have to touch this kind of greenbelt and agricultural land.
I think the pandemic that we've had for now for a year, being a year next week, has shown us the importance of being a bit more self-sufficient. You know, certainly even just look at our vaccine shortages at the moment coming from India. We have to be able to grow our cauliflowers and our cabbages and our tomatoes, because you've got down where you are, you've got, I always call it Thanet Planet. What's it called, Sarah? Thanet Earth, yeah. I always call it Thanet Planet. I don't know why. But you've got that sort of facility there as well. And I remember driving along and seeing the beautiful Kentish cauliflowers. You know, you can't beat that sort of thing.
Oh, I mean, Thanet has got a long history of farming. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of years of farming history. Thousands, possibly, actually. And we have been very renowned for potatoes, cauliflower, cabbages. I mean, when I first moved here in the 90s, you could smell Thanet before you got there, because
the cauliflower,
you could smell the cabbages in the field, you know. And I mean, times have changed, and there's a lot more wheat now, there's a lot more rape. Potatoes are still grown here.
Provenance potatoes, I believe.
Yeah, Provenance potatoes helps the growers get their food, their potatoes, all over the country. They're also used locally as well, but they're also exported. So, you know, there's a really important market in potatoes here. And those fields that we're talking about, some of them are used for growing potatoes, and that would be gone.
So these developments, Neil and Sarah, they're going to cause also, you've got to have the infrastructure. So you've got to have schools. If you're building these houses, you've got to have doctor's surgeries, hopefully a local pub, a local shop, a children's park. Is any of that being thought about?
Well, I think these all get promised at this stage, at the start of the application, and we know that as some developments get towards completion, excuses come up not to build these. All they're pledging at the moment is land being made available for a doctor's surgery or a school or this. Whether they actually happen is another question altogether, because at the end of the day, if they can squeeze another 20 units on this land, it's all about profit. They're not worried about this development around the back of us is going to double the size of Westgate as it stands now. You know, there's no guarantees the roads are going to be put in first. They're going to add 8,000 to 10,000 more vehicles on our road. The same, you know, 4,000 houses. There's the pollution. There's the traffic jams on roads that probably can't even cope anyway.
They don't cope now. In the summer, when you try and go to Westwood Cross that you mentioned, it's bedlam.
Some of the stats we get, you know, if this building goes ahead, that at its peak, over 10 to 12 years, at its peak, we could experience up to 300 HGV movements per day on these roads. It's not going to work. And developers aren't worried about putting in roads. They can't earn profit off of roads.
Yeah. So, and going back to what you both said about with the pandemic, how the working structure has changed, and we're certainly seeing in the big cities, they're empty. You know, my son works lives in Greenwich, but works in London. He's worked from home for a year. He's a graduate. It's his first job. And he's been working in a flat for a year. So I don't see this big surge back to offices. And I think when companies look at what they're spending on office blocks, and when people can work from home and might want to, then perhaps some of these offices can be turned into flats, maybe with shops underneath or whatever. What do you think about that? More going into towns as well, like Canterbury, for example, is so many shops are empty.
I've certainly seen a couple of examples where big sort of department stores, the likes of Debenhams, for example. I know planning applications have gone in a couple of areas to convert those into accommodation on the sort of the top of the building, and then on the bottom have services like GPs, hairdressers, supermarkets, that kind of thing. To me, that seems like a brilliant idea, because those kind of stores really don't, unfortunately, seem to have a future, do they?
No.
They're going to be empty buildings.
So let's let the cities thrive with multiple uses. I agree with that. And we need to start looking at our fields and our food produce. So who else, apart from Roger Gale, can the listeners help you lobby?
On our leaflet that we're distributing, 7,500 leaflets that we've had produced, and we're gradually putting those out around Westgate and Garlinge. There's email addresses for Robert Jenrick, Roger Gale. There's a government petition we're pushing to get signed. We've got around about 3,000 signatures on that at the moment. On our Facebook page, we are encouraging people to object to Thanet District Council, and they can object multiple times. And it's all about getting people interested and interacting as a community. So just put it across that it's not going to work. Thanet is 41 square miles. It's a deprived area. Shrinking population, we speak about remote working, and when you've got rail fares of up to London of £7,000 a year, who's going to buy these houses? So, and it's going to be an overspill from London boroughs to take care of their housing problems. They're not for locals, they're going to be unaffordable for locals, they're not needed. So there is the Facebook group, Westgate and Garland Jackson Group Against Housing Development, Twitter at Our Westgate, and also Instagram. And on the Facebook page, there's all the details for the people that can be lobbied and written to and objected to.
That's brilliant. And I think that they just need, it's very easy just to put a couple of houses, you know, where they see some space. But people need to think about the future and our future generations. And like you say, there is no realistic, cheap and easy way to get to London to get the salaries that perhaps we need. So we have to look after our locals, don't we? And also fan it whenever I see it. I was there, I think I said to Sarah recently, that the bins were absolutely overflowing and the toilets were all closed, considering we're all walking madly, you know, because we're stuck at home. And so Thanet Council has a problem with finances, I would think, and they're maybe short of money, and so they're doing this to make money. I don't know.
Yeah, I can understand that. It's, you know, it would, God forbid it went ahead, be a big source of revenue for them. But then my kind of thinking is, if they can't keep up with the houses they've got now, how are they going to keep up with a further, well, we're talking about Westgate, Garlinge and Birchington at the moment, but Thanet as a whole, 41 square miles, is earmarked for a total of 17,150 houses. The middle part of Thanet, which is the main agriculture part, is potentially shrinking to nothing.
Yeah. And like you say, it's going to be this huge converging of traffic and lack of space. And again, we lose our farming, as you've said, both of you, prime agricultural land, which is absolutely shocking and something that I hope the listener would agree we've got to do something about. So do you think there's time to stop this?
We hope so. We're told that, many people, they've got what I call the shruggy shoulders syndrome. It's always going to happen. It's done and done with. We don't think so. We wouldn't be doing this. I'm sure we've all got plenty more to be doing with our lives. And so, you know, the likes of Sarah and some others on the research team behind our group, I mean, the information they're finding is absolutely, it's quite unbelievable sort of what, you know, is going on. Obviously, you know, we'll reveal what we can at the right time. But no, it's not right. It smacks of injustice all the way along the line. And as I said earlier, there's only two people that benefit out of this is TDC with their cash flow problems and the developer. As you said yourself, or Sarah said, it's so easy to sort of dig on virgin land. But, I mean, this virgin land, the one thing, you know, we keep asking for evidence of this. The farmland behind Westgate, Garlinge and Birchington is between, a lot of it is between two scheduled ancient monuments in Dent de Leon Towers and Queck Settlements. Mm. Now, although we can't substantiate this, we know one of our members has been told by the archaeologists, this land should not be built on. There's too much underneath it. So why on earth should we allow or accept that bulldozers en masse should come round and pull it apart? And we keep asking, even last week, for evidence of this archaeological report, and it seems to be the hardest thing in the world to get hold of. Something's not right.
Yeah, very interesting. And I can feel your passion, both of you, and it's made me feel very hot under the collar, I'm sure. So listeners, get behind this. It's Our Westgate, as Neil said, on the Twitter. Go to their Facebook, find who you can lobby with, Roger Gale and the MPs, and shout about it, because it's your food, your future and your children's future for Thanet and for Kent as a whole. Kent is the breadbasket of the UK, in my opinion. So Neil Woodward, founder of the Action Group, Westgate and Garlinge Action Group, Save Our Fields, against housing development on the best agricultural farm land and farming. And also Sarah Boas, who's doing a lot behind the scenes on Twitter there. It's been great to talk to you. And let's keep this conversation going. From me, Jules Serkin, from Neil Woodward and from Sarah Boas, it's goodbye for now.
The Kelly Turner Foundation. Hello. We are raising awareness and funds for research by the Institute of Cancer Research to discover a targeted chemo or cure for this rare form of cancer called desmoplastic small round cell tumors, DSRCT. Sadly, any treatment or cure for Kelly is too late, but you can help us try to fight this horrible disease and help other young people in the future. Please Google Kelly Turner Just Giving and donate to save children's lives. Thank you.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
That was Jules talking to Neil and Sarah from Save Our Westgate about the proposed development of housing on a prime agricultural land in Thanet. You have my sympathy. For those of you that know me, I live in a house in the country that is surrounded by fields. I do not have any neighbours, or at least I didn't. But they've just started work on building 60 houses in the field next door to me. So in the next 18 months, I'm going to go from zero neighbours to 60, which I'm looking forward to no end. We are building all over the southeast of England. There's two elements to this. We do have a housing shortage in the country, especially in the southeast of England, which is where so many people want to be because we have jobs here. But we also have a lot of opportunities to build in places that are much more conducive than using prime greenfield and agricultural land. Tracy Ferguson said, a much better use of redundant unused buildings already in situ in towns where the infrastructure is already in place rather than building more new homes. Completely agree with you, Jules. And as Neil says, much more affordable. Yep. What you need to know, this all came about from the Prescott plan. That's how long it's been implemented. The Prescott plan was brought into place and local authorities get paid extra grant money based on the number of new houses they build each year. It's all about the money, as much as building the houses. So if you want to support that action in Thanet, do check them out. Check out their Twitter handle, Our Westgate, and their Facebook page. Okie dokie. I actually caught up with Jules earlier in the week and we had a bit of a rant about some other stuff as well. So why don't we hear about that?
Oh, here we are again. It's that time to catch up with Mrs. Sirkin, the ranting queen from Tankerton. Hello.
Hello, Andrews. Yeah, hello. I don't know what the weather will be like on Wednesday because we will on Tuesday because we will be live on the Business Bunker on Tuesday. But today, as a pre-live on the Business Bunker, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, it's scorchingly gorgeous. It's hotter than Nice.
It was hot here yesterday. It's fairly warm here, but overcast.
Yeah, it's a bit overcast here, and yesterday I was a bit miffed because, as you know, I live on the beach, and everybody was out there. They're all out there. They were on furlough having picnics, and I was hemmed in. I didn't go out all day, and I was miffed. And today I am going to slope off about four-ish. I'm going to see the lovely Serenity Becker.
Are you? You can have your nails done.
Well, that's not allowed, Paul, but the government will be telling her on the 5th of April, I believe. They'll be giving her permission to open, and I'm fully booked. I'm in there for the whole day on the 12th of April.
Are you?
I shall be plucked, waxed, pruned.
I don't think I want to know what you're having done.
Mind you, I've got quite good, you know. This morning I woke up, I exfoliated.
I do that first thing in the morning as well. Yeah. Oh, exfoliated, sorry.
I exfoliated face and body. And then I put a lovely Tropic by Susie Fish, lovely mask, moisturising mask, which always gives the new husband a bit of a shock. If he comes in the bathroom and I've got this mask on, he screams.
I don't blame him.
he thinks I'm a burger or something.
You're walking around with Susie Fish on your face.
Yes.
That's not going to be good, is it?
It was a lovely one. Do you know you can actually eat them? They're so pure, Tropic. You can eat them. And I was quite tempted because it was very...
You sound like some kind of black widow. Some kind of spider that eats its mate.
I didn't mean I could eat my new husband. I said you could eat your face moisturizer.
You ate your face mask. What is it, cucumber or something?
And then... Then, of course, I scraped it off and washed and all sorts of things. And so, yeah, I'm feeling like I'm half done, really.
Wow, blimey.
Yeah, I've also, what's the other thing I do? Epilate. So I epilate from the knee down. So I look, you know, nice and polished.
Right, okay.
Nice bit of, oh, I tell you what I did do that was very interesting.
Yeah.
I buy avocado oil, which is hugely expensive, but it's very good to use because I don't use seed oils. So I don't use sunflower oil. I only use avocado, coconut or olive oil. As you know, they're quite pricey. So I had one that was about 4 years past its sell-by date in my pantry.
Right. And I avocado.
The oil.
Oh, the right.
Oil. And I thought, oh, I better not cook with it. It did smell a bit rancid, to be honest.
Right, yeah, okay.
And now I've taken it down to my bathroom and I'm using it as a moisturiser. How frugal.
Lovely.
You impressed?
So rancid avocado oil is what makes you young and beautiful, is it?
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, can't give up at my age, I can tell you.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, it's nice to see the weather. It's nice to see people. On the Superior show, the Scoff and Quaff show, I was asking my guests. I had Peter Ducker. Mm. He is the chief executive of the Institute of Hospitality.
Hasn't that changed now?
Yes, to Robert Richardson.
Isn't there a new one just about to start?
Yeah,
isn't the fabulous Mr. Robert Richardson about to take over?
Yeah,
wow.
You know, I'm very impressed by him because he started off as a waiter age 17.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very impressive. He is like a whippet though, isn't he, when you look at him?
He is. And have you seen some of the dishes that he cooks?
Yeah.
And he posts on social media and they're absolutely gorgeous. And you think, but hold on a minute, you're eating all this stuff and there's nothing of you. You're like a stick insect.
He is. He's like a whippet.
Not good, is it? It's not good.
It's not fair, really. I just was speaking to the chair of the thyroid .org something or other. She'll kill me. Oh, Thyroid Trust, Lorraine Williams, who's a lovely, lovely lady. And I've done a few podcasts with her and some videos and things. She has very eminent endocrinologists speaking about thyroid and how badly it's treated. Mm. And she really annoyed me because she texted me and she said, do you know what, Jules? I've lost a stone and a half in lockdown. And, you know, I wanted to slam the phone down. You can't really slam the phone down, can you?
How do they manage that then?
She said, well, even more annoying, she said, do you know what? I just cut out sugar and the weight just dropped off. And it really annoyed me.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I don't eat sugar.
No, I don't like sugar either. Mind you can't avoid it, can you? They put it in everything.
Well, it is in Prosecco.
Yeah.
That's probably my downfall, or champagne. But, you know, I don't actually cook with sugar or anything, but and I don't have ready meals.
No,
but,
yeah, you just use rancid avocado oil, don't you?
Only on my legs.
Yeah, see, if you cooked in that, you'd probably lose weight quite quickly.
Probably. But you know what?
What?
I only put it on my legs so that if I get into bed with the new husband of an evening, I smell nice. On the top half, I use a really nice scented oil that is actually pomegranate. Very nice. And so, you know, from the top down to the waist, I actually smell quite pleasant.
You see, it's like going to bed with a Middle Eastern salad, isn't it? You need some, need some hummus on your head or something. Anyway, I'll tell you what, why don't you read one of your emails?
I will, but I've got to get into the, you know, I've got to mention Baba Ghanoush because you've said Middle Eastern. It is my one weakness.
Right.
I love a bit of Baba Ghanoush, don't you?
Baba Ghanoush?
Yeah.
Don't start that again.
With a little bit of pine nut on the side.
Yeah.
So did you know, Paul Andrews, that there's an ancient pub which is set to open next month and it's been given a tongue twister of a name. Oh dear, I better say this when I'm sober, in a nod to its history. So its tongue twister name is the Pheasant Plucker.
Pheasant Plucker Pub, okay.
I mean, you wouldn't have them on your show, would you, if you were tired? They're in Ide Hill near Sevenoaks, which will it dates back to the early 1800s. Is that Elizabethan?
No. Victorian. Oh,
Victorian. What is Elizabethan? 1500s?
Yeah.
Because you speak fluent Elizabethan, don't you?
I do.
A lot of the listeners don't know that.
No, I know.
Not the new ones, the old ones know, because you've often spoken Elizabethan on the show. So it was previously known as the Woodman. You couldn't even say woodman now, it'd have to be wood person, wouldn't it?
It would.
That wouldn't be allowed, say Woodman. And the new owners are Elite Pubs, and they looked into its past and they came up with a new name, which could be a challenge when you've had a drink. The Peasant Plucker.
I think Pheasant Plucker.
Oh yeah, what did I say? Peasant.
Pleasant. Peasant.
It's a challenge. It is a challenge. And of course, the more you think about it, there was that famous news lady that was on, newsreader, who had Jeremy Hunt on the show, didn't she?
Yeah.
You know, the more you think about it,
the worse it gets.
Because then it's in your head. So the chain, which also runs the Potting Shed in Langley near Maidstone, has originally planned to open the Pheasant Plucker in February after a full renovation, but lockdown meant the date was pushed back to Monday, April the 12th. Pubs with gardens can reopen, as we know, under the government's roadmap. Its new name was chosen after it was discovered that the first wife of William Amherst, who inherited the nearby Montreal estate from his great uncle, he introduced the first Chinese pheasant to England and practiced the ancient and skilled craft of plucking pheasants after many a game shoot. You see how careful I'm
being. You have to pick your way through that.
A spokesman for Elite Pubs added, however, that the name was also served with a side of tongue-in-cheek English humour. I like that. I wouldn't personally want a Chinese pheasant at the moment. I've gone off them.
Have you? Well,
yeah, vintage ones.
Elite Pubs are quite interesting. They've been opening pubs all over Kent and a little bit in East Sussex. We've got two, one either side of us. The Great House, which was their first one at Hawkhurst, and their latest pub before the Pheasant Plucker is the Pig and Sty at Betherston.
Okay.
But they got the Potting Shed, they got the Gun, the Farmhouse in Westmoreland, the Dirty Habit in Hollingbourne, and they're all gastro pubs. They're really nice pubs. I think I'm right in saying they're actually a French company.
Oh la la! Neat. Well, so they've taken on. It's nice. I mean, I love a free house. They're my favourite, and they're very hard to find.
Yeah,
but I think a smaller company such as Elite would be interesting to go to. I'd be interested to know how many pubs they have actually.
I've been to all of them apart from this new one, and I believe there's now 9 in the chain.
Okay, so that'd be interesting. And do they manage? Do they have managers?
I mean, I've seen managers in one turn up in one of the others, so they all work for Elite Pubs, but they're gastro pubs, and their menu is different in each pub. It's lovely food. I mean, Amanda and I used to go to they used to do a lobster night on Friday nights at the Great House, and we used to go to that quite often when you could do
I remember that. You know what, it's quite difficult to cook lobster properly because there's a place that we go to and they cremate it, you know, and I just, you know, they just overcook it. It is good to have a nicely cooked lobster.
Yeah. But one of the things, just coming back, one of the things that I like about this story, apart from the, you know, the tongue in cheek of it, is that they are opening new pubs. Because, you know, they've taken the opportunity to acquire this place and refurbish it while they've been locked down. So hopefully, you know, when we come back, they're going to go on to bigger and better things. And that's positive. It is good because it shows you that they think there's going to be a market after they've opened again. And, you know,
I'm sure there will be. I was asking my guests on the Superior Show, Scoff and Quoff, Peter Ducker, Greg Chick, who has an Airbnb in Ash near Canterbury, and also Johnny Wren. It's like a bird show. If you think about it, Peter Duck, Johnny Wren, and Greg Chick. How did that even happen?
You did it deliberately, I know.
It just happened. I was asking what they were going to do, and Peter Ducker said straight away he's looking forward to going to a pub with his dog, I think it's a retriever, and just sitting in the garden, having a proper beer and a chin wag, and, you know, just simple, but something we've missed.
Yeah, if he takes his retriever, he can go and get a pheasant, can't he?
He can. He can indeed.
And then they could pluck it, and then they'd be in the pheasant plucker, wouldn't they?
They would. That would be very, very, very good.
Cool.
Got another little email.
Yeah, go for it.
I've also got a request as well. So
oh, blimey.
Remind me. I'll tell you the request first because it's quite
important. Go for it.
Yeah. So SoundCloud. I need someone to help me with my SoundCloud because I need to go on to all the things like Spotify and Apple Music and stuff that I've been meaning to do for 10 years. I never will. And I had a VA, not anyone that you know or any of the Business Bunker listeners know, in case, because we do have the lovely Vicky, and it's not her. But she hasn't been much help, really. It's been about 4 weeks. So if you know anyone that's good and nice and techie on SoundCloud, because I tried to do it and it was just taking me through,
what are you trying to do?
Put my SoundCloud onto the some other thing on SoundCloud. I've got it on my screen somewhere. And it just was a can of worms. It wouldn't even let me put a photograph in, you know, add your image. It wouldn't even let me do that. It was really annoying.
Right.
It's repostnetwork.com, and it's part of SoundCloud. So I went on to SoundCloud from there. So if you've got any of your geek boffins that you know or listening, it's a very simple job, but it was going around the house and it was really boring. And I ended up swearing at the screen. Get in touch with me, Jules Serkin. Houses in one town in Kent are being sold faster than anywhere else in the country, according to new figures. Buyers are sweeping on, guess where?
Go on, where? I know, so it won't be worth my while guessing.
Well, you could have pretended and everybody thought you're really clever.
All right, off the top of my head, Rochester.
Is that where the lovely Tracy and a few of our listeners live?
Yeah, Denise and Gemma and all those lovely people live over in Rochester.
By the river. So buyers are swooping on Rochester, meaning homes are being snapped up on average 52 days, almost twice as fast as the overall rate for England and Wales. The market in London has slowed down considerably. I predicted this, actually. During the pandemic, with the 10 places with the longest time on the market all in the capital. The median price of a home in Rochester is 260,000, which is just below the English average of 266,532,000, according to the latest government house price index released last week. Prices are considerably lower than average property prices in the southeast, which at £342,420 increased by 6.4% between January of last year and January of this year. Very interesting. And as we've said, Paul Andrews, haven't we, and listener,
yep.
People are perhaps realising that they need to be fairly near London for work, but they can have a little house with a garden.
Yeah, and absolutely. And Rochester's perfect for that, isn't it? Because it's a lovely place, the old city. It's gorgeous. It's a lovely place to live. But as you just identified, so far, house prices are just below the average for the country. So anyone moving out of London to Rochester will be quids in, and they're still only 20 miles from London. So I think that's the start of what we will see as a shift out of London. What I expect it to do is to shoot house prices up in Kent. As people move to, you know, so as people start looking more and more in Rochester, the house prices will go up.
It's always very strange, isn't it? Because Kent has been sort of almost overlooked. And yet, if you look at places like, you know, Guildford and, you know, places that you can trade, even Brighton, you can get to London more quickly, I believe. And, you know, still our train from Whitstable is ridiculously slow.
Fast train.
Yeah, but we don't have it in Whitstable. We get it from Faversham or Canterbury, but not Whitstable.
And
I was looking at properties for a client in Birchington. They wanted to do a buy-to-let. And in the end, I just said, I'm not sure about Birchington. You know, I love it. It's a beautiful area. But if somebody wants to commute to London, possibly look at Ramsgate, Folkestone, or still Faversham. But prices in Faversham have rocketed. And as you know, I'm a big fan of Faversham. I love it.
Yeah.
There's also, for listeners, this is rather good, it's a free webinar which has been organised by Kent County Council, KCC, It takes place next month to advise businesses on how to safely reopen as the latest national lockdown rules are eased. Sorry about my emails pinging.
Yeah, it's driving me nuts. Your phone ringing, your emails pinging. Stop making a noise, woman.
I know, I'm busy bee today. And the thing is, if I turn my emails down, then I turn you down, don't I?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Why don't you just turn off notifications?
Well, I don't think you can stop your emails pinging, can you?
Yeah, of course, you turn off notifications.
Really? Don't you get a ping? Don't your emails ping?
Not if I turn off notifications, no.
I don't ever read my emails, that's all right. I've only got, actually at the moment I'm quite good, I've got 26,492 in my inbox.
Yeah, unread. Yeah.
I only read yours.
Yeah.
So where were we? Okay. So according to, this is about how to safely reopen as the latest national lockdown rules are eased. So according to the government's roadmap of lockdown, non-essential shops can reopen from April the 12th, while offices are set to be encouraged to reopen as lockdown measures continue to be lifted this summer. So to help firms plan for the reopening, representatives from Kent County Council, Trading Standards, Environmental Health, Kent Resilience Forum Enforcement, Kent and Medway Growth Hub, and South East Water, what they're doing there, will help to take part in a webinar on Friday, April the 9th from 1 to 2. Those attending the online event will be able to ask the experts about the guidelines for reopening businesses. It will cover just what businesses can and cannot open, services which can be offered, and how to keep staff and customers safe. I mean, that's brilliant. So you can go and find out about that by going to kentbizradio.co.uk.
Yeah, the link for that was quite long and complicated, so we'll just put it up on the radio website.
I mean, because we've got beautiful weather, there have already been huge beach parties. And in Nottingham, there was a disbursement order as crowds frolicked en masse. So we still have to be very careful. But it is really nice to see. It's lovely to see people out there as friends walking around. I still haven't met any friends, but I am going to this afternoon, so I'm quite excited.
Yeah, I went to Maidstone today to my office there because we had problems. And it's the first time in over a year I've been there. And the traffic was horrendous. It was at a standstill, yeah.
Yeah, well, I expect you did some dusting while you were there. Did you take
it needs a good dusting. Yeah, it needs a lot of things.
My builder came yesterday to put up some trellis, and he had to drive from Whitstable all the way to Dover to get trellis. There's a shortage. I don't know if it's Brexit or COVID or some excuse. And then apparently there's also a shortage of glass for windows, because I'm still waiting for some windows. I guess the glass comes from somewhere like Poland or Romania, or I reckon. So although they've got the window frames, they can't get the glass, apparently. That was his excuse.
Who knows?
COVID, it is a bit of a humdinger, isn't it, that?
Yeah. It's amazing what is in shortage at the moment. And I guess it's just because people haven't been working. You know, it's like I have an espresso machine, and I buy Nespresso compatible pods, but I can't get any. Wherever I look, there aren't any. People just aren't doing them.
I also have an espresso, and whenever I've been given pods that people say will fit, they've never worked.
Well, you do find that a lot, that they don't quite fit, so the machine leaks when you're using them.
Frustrated and end up squashing them in when they don't work.
It's a nuisance that they ought to get their act together.
I now just use a stovetop, as you know, and I get my stuff from Coffee Bean Shop or wherever, and I just fresh grind, shove it in the little, the little Italian stovetops, quart in the bottom, ground coffee in the top, bung it on, 10 minutes, Bob's your uncle.
Yeah.
Froth up the coconut milk. Do you want me to buy you one for August?
Yeah, go on. Why not?
Have you got one?
What?
A stovetop.
A what?
Have you got a stovetop machine? You haven't, have you?
No.
Have you got an induction hob?
No.
What do you cook on?
Gas.
Oh, do you know what? I had my gas hob removed 6 years ago.
Was it painful?
And I've now, I couldn't walk for weeks. But I've now got an induction, and chefs love them. I absolutely hate it. And every time my plumber comes around, I go, "Could you? Do you reckon you could get me back to gas? It's so much better. So much better."
I'll tell you a quick story. Many years ago, we used to have big family Christmases.
I'm sure you will again.
And back then, I had a massive kitchen in the house I lived in back then. And we had a big Arga. But I also had an induction hob. Because we had lots of people coming for Christmas, we had to use both to cook everything. And on Christmas Eve in the evening, I was ordered to re-put up an extractor fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The extractor fan broke, and I had a new kit, and I was asked to replace it. So I got on a set of steps with my electric drill and screwdriver, and I was drilling a hole, and the battery wasn't in the drill properly, and it fell out and landed on the induction hob and cracked it right across. I did get into trouble for that.
But that wasn't really your fault. I mean, I would never ask my new husband to do that. I mean, he would be, no. He tried to electrocute me once. I asked him to put up one of those electric towel heater rail. And I don't know what he did, but when I touched it, my hair frizzed. And
yeah. And were you did he ask you to stand in a bowl of water first?
It was icy. And I did check my life insurance, and he hadn't increased it. So I think it was genuine. But really, he is the Mr. Bean of DIY, and I tend not to.
I'm pretty useless as well at DIY, found out.
It would really help, wouldn't it, to be taught that sort of thing?
Yeah, there you go.
And right. I had a rant just before we go. I had a rant with the builder today because he said how busy he was and how I said I'm spending my whole life nagging people that I've approved their quotes. And then I never hear from them again. And they're all so busy. So if you're listening and you're out of work, please look at the trades.
Yeah.
Because you just can't get decent trades. If they're good, they're booked.
Absolutely. Right, that's it. We've run out of time. Lovely to talk to you. Hopefully you're going to be back in the studio sometime soon.
You're having your jab, so we should be a bit safer.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, thank you, my dear. Take care, stay safe, and we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
That was the nutter. That is Jules Serkin, and we caught up earlier in the week. We were talking about elite pubs earlier, and Athelbrey have tweeted, there's another elite pub, the Poacher at Tudley. Great service, great menus, and our first venture out in July last year when we were first allowed out. They also have great local dog walks from each pub, and a reward with some nosh on your return. Yep, I've been to the Poacher and Partridge at Tudley quite a few times. It's a lovely pub. Just for completeness, there's also the Vineyard at Lamberhurst, the Gun at Heathfield, the Farmhouse in Westmorland, the Great House at Hawkhurst. I'm trying to remember them all. I have been to them all. The Pig and Sty at Betherstone and the Potting Shed at Langley. So, they do have quite a few pubs and gastro pubs, and they're all worth a visit. So do check them out. So that was Jules. We're almost at the end of the show. I've got a couple of other things to tell you about. We've started to get a flurry of tweets in again as well. Jules is saying, strange the objects which are at shortage, glass, trellis, and things like that. AK Pet Services, Adrian says good afternoon, and he's listening to the show. Hello, Adrian. Thanks for joining us. And Tracy was saying about, we were talking about Rochester, many new homes being built in Rochester too, but also lots of refurbs to modernise old properties. Yes, great infrastructure links to London. Since I've lived here, my little Victorian house has increased in value. I love it here, but that alone has been a nice investment. Absolutely. Okay. Awards celebrate hard work. success and a great PR for your organisation. If you are a winning business, why not enter our free Maidstone or Ashford Business Awards 2021? There are a number of categories that you can enter, and there's going to be a combined awards dinner in November at the Great Danes Hotel at Hollingbourne. You can find out all about the Maidstone and Ashford Awards by going to www.businessawardskent.co.uk. You can find out about there. You can self-nominate and you can go in for one or more of each of the categories in each of those areas. It's with great pleasure that Paul and Rani Barbara are inviting you to attend Vasakai to celebrate the launch of Carrara Foods and to welcome the Sikh New Year. The grand opening of Carrara at McNaid Food Village in Faversham on Wednesday the 14th of April from 3 p.m. With restrictions lifting on the 12th of April, this is the perfect time to join Paul and Rani to celebrate and tickle your taste buds. This event will be conducted in accordance with all COVID-19 restrictions, and safety is of the utmost importance. So do check that out, because Paul and Rani make some of the most wonderful food imaginable. And Jules and I certainly have sampled that lots in the past and enjoyed it all. Jules is now waffling about bits of trellis for some reason. I have no idea why. I just want to mention this. I mentioned some work that Wards, the estate agents, part of Arran Estates, had done in conjunction with Kent Community Foundation on making charitable donations. The Wards Charitable Fund and the Rooney Foundation support children with physical disabilities, long-term illnesses and or life-limiting conditions. Priority is given to equipment that directly benefits the mental and physical health of the children. The funds will also consider requests for equipment required due to a child's disability and requests for make-a-wish holidays for terminally ill children. The average grant from the fund is between £300 and £2,000, but there is no upper limit, and no limit is placed on applications, and applications can be made at any time during the year. So if you want to find out more about the Wards Charitable Fund, it's administered by the Kent Community Foundation. So if you go to their website, which is www.kentcf.org.uk/funding, you can find out all about it. And we've reached the end of another Business Bunker show for another week. Thank you for joining us. We heard from some fantastic guests, and we caught up with Jules Sirkin. Thank you to everyone that contributed both via social media and via email. We'll be back with another show next week. Stay safe, everybody, and we'll see you all soon.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel.